well, it is our your prayers this morning. I feel like the Lord's given me something that would be a challenge to us. I heard on the radio some months ago, a guy was talking, some political stuff. He was talking about what's termed social justice. And he said, I don't know why Christian people don't back this idea of social justice. Social justice was really talking about that you equalize the economic things. You equalize money and those kind of things. You take and tax people that have it, basically. You take from them and then you spread it out, is the idea of it. And he was saying, I don't understand why, with the idea of helping people out, and the idea of, he said, that's, the Bible teaches it. Well, I'm not trying to be political at all today, but I remember thinking at the time the man said that, I don't read that. Where in the Bible does it ever insinuate that you take from somebody that don't want to give it? It don't. And the Lord won't take from you either. But what I want us to be challenged with today is that every one of us serve the Lord because we want to. You're here today because you want to. And to what degree you do it because you want to. God did make a creation that does what He wants it to do. Totally. The universe does what He wants it to do. The animals that He created, they do exactly what they were told to do. God didn't have no problem with any of that, but God also made part of His creation mankind. And He gave us something that He didn't give the rest of His creation. He gave us the wheels. A choice. You want to serve God? You can. You don't want to? You don't have to. We can't serve God successfully without God, but we can search God to find the answers for God, but we still have to want to do it. I don't see a plan in the Bible to take from people that don't want to give it and give it to people that don't work for it. If that's what they're talking about, that's totally non-scriptural to me. But my point is today, I just want us to focus on the fact that what we do, God wants us to do it. God loves cheerful givers. God wants people to be givers. But more than that, all that we do for God, we have to do it because we want to do it. So I want us to be challenged by this today. I remember asking Brother Jim. Brother Jim was in World War II, was a paratrooper in the 101st Airborne. Paratrooping at that point was kind of a new idea. It was, and the idea of doing it was quite a thing. And I remember asking him, how did you ever get into 101st Airborne? He said, you had to volunteer to be a paratrooper. They didn't force anybody into it. They didn't draft people. They drafted them into the Army. But they didn't draft them into the 101st. You had to volunteer for that. And I said, why did you ever volunteer to go into something like that, jumping out of airplanes? And he said, because they paid more money. There was a benefit to doing it. He went into that. Most people here, I guess we know what Brother Jim. Brother Jim was very active in World War II. He made a number of jumps. He jumped, one of the first ones to jump into Normandy. He jumped into Holland. They rushed the 101st up the Bastogne when there was the Battle of the Bulge. He's seen a lot of actions. He's seen a lot of things. But he volunteered to do that. He didn't volunteer for every action that he done, but he volunteered when they said, "We need people. We want to know that if you're, we put this out there. We need a group of men. You're going to be a tough man to be this. You're going to be put through it. A lot of people that think they can do it can't do it, but we're looking for people to do it. We need people that has got the mental constitution, physical constitution, to be able to get in an airplane and jump out of the airplane, then face whatever they're going to have to face. You're going to have to do that." And he said, "I'll do it. I'm the one that you want. I'm the one to do it." And he was able to do that. He volunteered. Well, Lord help us today. I think there's a lot to do. And you know, the Lord wants volunteers. He wants people that want to do it enough that they'll say, "Lord, I'm volunteering. I want to make a difference." Before we get into our scripture, I want to bring our minds to the idea of the woman at the well. You remember the Samaritan woman at the well, and the Lord went by the well, and there was a woman there. You remember the conversation that the Lord had with the woman at the well. He ended up telling her about her life. "Yeah, you've had these husbands, and the one you got now is not yours. You've had a number of husbands." He told her about her life, and much more he probably told her than was what was written down. And didn't you know that woman left his presence from that conversation and went back down to Samaria? And what did she do? Think about what she done. She didn't just happen to, "Oh yeah, by the way, up late at night before she went to bed. Oh, by the way, I met an interesting guy up at the well." No. She didn't happen to wait a week and tell some of her friends, "You know, I forgot to tell you all, I met a guy up at the well that I wanted to tell you about." No, she went right down there to Samaria and started telling them, "There's a man up there that told me everything they ever done. There's a man up there." She went willingly. She had something in her heart. Something had happened to her. Something that was dynamic. Something that was outstanding. The people, she knew it. Everybody knew it, that when this Messiah came, that he would be able to tell you all things that you ever done. Nobody else can do it, but this one can. And he told her. And she went back down and immediately started telling everybody else around. She didn't have to be prompted to it. She didn't have to be worked up by the pastor to do it. She got a hold of something. And if you got a hold of something, you have something in your heart, there's something that you need to share with somebody else. This woman had something. She met the Lord. He made a difference to her. And he went down there. This woman went down there. With all that she had against her, she wasn't a nice woman for one. Who's going to listen to her? You know, people listened to her. And then they looked, and this great crowd was coming out. They was coming up to see this man called Jesus. This woman volunteered. She volunteered to go down there. "I've got something, and I'm going to tell everybody else what I've got." I want to look at a scripture in Isaiah, the 6th chapter of Isaiah. Oh, let's see. I want to pick it up about the 5th verse, I guess. 6 of Isaiah, 5th verse says, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Well, that's kind of my message today. Here am I. Send me. I saw a need. I saw the situation. Here's Isaiah talking. Here am I. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Lord, give me something to do. What's my job? What's my part in this? There's a song. I've just got a few words that Linda reminded me of, wrote down here. It says, it seems my children ought to want to sit around my table, but no one wants to work in my fields. My children just want to sit all around the table. Well, yeah, it's good to sit around the table. It's where you get food at. It's where you eat at. It's where you have fellowship at. It's where you have enjoyment at. We have a world other than this. You know, we are responsible for more than this little... I say it regular and say it often. You ought to come to the scheduled services as much and as often with as much zeal and passion as you can. You ought to come. You'll be blessed for it. But it still is not all that there is to this. That's just sitting around the table. That's just recognizing that I have needs that I need to fulfill. I need your testimonies. I need your encouragement. I need to hear the word of the Lord. I need to hear the singing. I need the inspiration of a collective worship service. But that's not what all there is to worshiping the Lord. Here am I, Lord. Send me. You got more to do than just this secular life that's around me? Is there something that you want to intertwine into my life of living for you? Is there someone to say something to? Someone to talk to? Is there a message out there that I need to deliver? You know what? You don't have to. You can say today, nope, not me. But Isaiah said, is there anyone? Question mark. The Lord said, is there anyone that we can send? Is there anyone that will go? You know what he was wanting to do? He was wanting somebody that's going to speak up to a rebellious, hard-necked, stiff-necked people. Is there anybody that will go do that? No! I don't want to be the one they throw the rocks at. I don't want to be the one that's going to be looked at as cross-eyed or strange or different. What are you talking about, God, in this environment that we're in now? Who's going to go? And Isaiah says, Lord, here am I. Send me. But I want to make a point here. I think if what we read in the from 5 down hadn't happened, Isaiah wouldn't have been ready to go. Isaiah had to have, he run into something. Don't just say, I'm going. A lot of people have done that. Said, I'm going to go. You know, it's important that you go with something. It's important that you got the Lord involved. It's important that something's happened. Something happened here with Isaiah that, if you want to use the pun, fired him up. Something got him going. Something happened to him. He had an experience with God, and God done something for him, and now he's ready. Now the question's asked. I need somebody to go. Who's going? I'm ready to go. Give me something to do. Lord, help us. It's more than just sitting around the table. We are trying a lot of times to just keep ourselves going. We don't realize that the best thing that keeps us going is doing what the Lord wants us to do. Do you know the blessings that we feel when we get out there? Now, I know we collectively, it isn't all about being a collective group that goes and does it. But now, I think everybody in here would say that every time we go to the nursing home and sing and talk to those people and pray with those people, we all come back blessed, don't we? Now, is anybody going to say, now I go down there and I ain't blessed? I don't, maybe you would. But I'm going to tell you, when we go down there and do it, and there are people there that want to hear us sing, they want to hear something about the Lord, they ask us to pray for them, they accept our prayer, they do all that. When I come away from that, I always feel inspired. I always feel enthused. We have a tent meeting up there in Wisconsin. We just got back from it just a couple weeks ago. I went into that not knowing. Different people was coming. I didn't know who all was coming. I didn't know what it was going to be like. I laid it before the Lord, said, Lord, you're going to have to do what you do, I don't know what to do. You're going to have to give the messages. The Lord inspired. The people that came seemed to be inspired, moved, challenged. God did something outside of my human ability to do it, our human ability to do it. The songs was blessed. The preaching was blessed. Everything come together, and I come away from that inspired. More so than trying to keep myself up on a daily basis. But something happened. God does something for us. Who will go for me? Who's going to stand in the gap? Who's going to make a difference? And one speaks up and says, like Brother Jim said, I'll be a paratrooper. God needs somebody that's willing. Because you know He's not going to make you willing. That's going to have to be your part. God does things to encourage, to inspire, to bring along. God touched him here, Dundee's here, but he still had to get into the place that he says, "You're my Lord. I'm ready now. Send me to the duty." We'll be more inspired with life, I believe, when we see the fulfillment of God's will in our lives. When we see other people touched, other people helped, when we have that spirit of reaching out, this is a challenge that the Lord has given me. Be the one that says, "Here am I. Send me." I run into something that I thought very peculiar over the years. Being a minister, I think it's been funny to me. Because I travel all over the different places in the country, and how many times I'll get a phone call from somebody in an area, or they might hear I'm in the Midwest somewhere, and someone may call me hundreds of miles away and say, "Brother Marty, my brother's wife, or my wife's brother, or somebody, they really need you to come and talk to them." And I'm like, all right. All at the same time, I'm thinking, if they need to talk to, why don't you talk to them? You understand what I'm saying? This isn't just for the minister. Or how many times somebody thinks, you're the one that needs to talk all over. I ain't in that world. I don't follow you around in your world. Yeah, there is times, I understand that, and I believe that, and there has been times that I knew exactly. Brother Mansell called me one time, and when Elaine's brother died, you remember was his name Eddie? I think his name was Eddie. I was sitting at home and had a whole day's plan Saturday, and Brother Mansell called me up and said, you wasn't thinking about going up to that? And I was like, no, I wasn't thinking. And the Lord was saying, you're going. That's what you're supposed to be doing. I got it right off. I knew the Lord wanted me to do that. I know there's inspiration with things. But listen, I don't go around in your world. You can't expect to call somebody off in the world. No, this is the idea. Here am I, Lord. Send me for my world. Everybody in here has a world that you're going to meet people, be associated with people, talk to people that I will never meet, see, or know. This is where you say, here am I, Lord. Send me into it. Touch my life that I'm an example for the Lord. That I'm a witness for the Lord. I ain't talking about obnoxious. I'm not talking about being brazen or bold. I'm talking about being a witness wherever you go of Christ, willing, ready, able to say something for the Lord. I'm going to tell you, Brother Jim was that. Brother Jim was that, and he walked his days. Now, I wasn't in his mind, but I'm telling you of what I could see. Brother Jim went his days, whether he went to the store, or whether he was on the train, or he was at task. He went with an idea, Lord, here am I. Send me. Help me to make a difference to somebody's life. Had a pocket full of... He always turned them out so he could read the headline. I remember some people, there was different ones that come up and read that headline and the statement would say things like, where will you spend eternity? Or, does God lie? Or, I mean, there would be some one of those tracts that's stuck out there. And that was Brother Jim saying to the Lord, I'm willing, Lord. I'm willing. I'm willing to be different. I'm willing to be known as a Christian. I'm willing to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Send me. Oh, you don't think atheists ride the train? Yes, atheists ride trains. Don't you think people that's adverse to Christianity, yeah, they ride trains too. But there was Brother Jim with his witness for the Lord. I'm telling you, it was a challenge to me. Linda and I rode the train with him one day. And it was amazing. He went around talking with people, meeting people. And they was at points that we'd look and him just meet somebody and they're over there crying, telling him their story of life. Tears running down their faces. And then Brother Jim telling him, I'm praying for you. I'm going to remember you and be taking their net and talking to them and making a contact. That was part of the contacts that he had when he died. The people that we met, the people that called and all that was people that he randomly met in places. Well, there's a calling for that for sure. But there was a willingness for the calling. There was a willingness to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Let me, help me to be that. More than just saying, well, Lord, if you want me to do something, thunder and flash of lightning and I'll come around to it. No, there's a people that look for it and say, Lord, I want to, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to me and Lord, I want to be a part of it enough that I want you to send me to do it. Well, I know we get in our minds sometimes, send me. Boy, oh boy, I have to go to that orphanage over there in Africa. Or, oh, I might have to do this. Well, you might have. And then you might have to stand before Congress. I don't know. But you also might have to just clean the bathroom. You also might just have to do some physical. The Lord might just call you and you say, Lord, here am I. Send me. And the Lord says, okay, well, this needs done. This needs done. Do this. They need help. Just help them. I think the important thing is that we be willing. Do we have the heart before God to say, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, send me. Help me to do it. I want to tie that scripture in with one over in 2 Samuel. Oh, this is one of my favorite scriptures. In the 14th verse of the 23rd chapter, 2 Samuel, it says, and David longed... No. 14th verse, it says, and David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. I was just thinking what it would be, how important it would be to be a leader of an army, to have men like he had. I know not comparing really, I guess, but I am the kind of the head of the home and the head of the family. And there are some times that I have to make decisions that's not popular with my family. We'll be out sometimes at a meeting and somebody else will call for a meeting and I'll feel like the Lord will want us to go to that meeting and the family will be saying, no, Dad. No, Dad, no. We can't go there. Let's not do that. And I'll have to make that decision. And I'm going to tell you, it's harder to make a decision against the people I love. The ones that stand up with me. It's hard to make a decision when like that when people when my children are saying, "Dad, that's too much. We can't." Those kind of things. Oh no, I don't want. I want to go home. That's a hard decision. It becomes a pull for me. If you understand what I'm saying, you ever been there? I'm betwixt two. I feel like this is what I'm supposed to do, what I need to do. But yet, the ones I love, I want to take care of and see them happy and fulfilled. I'm in a straight. Between the two. David said, I long for a drink of that water. He knew what that water was. He had tasted it. He had drank from it. No doubt on many a hot days, I mean, Bethlehem was the city of David. He knew what that well was like. And him being out away from it, no doubt it just was so appealing to him. But it was a whim. You have to understand what this was. It was a whim. David wanted some water out of there because it was cool and fresh. It was just a desire that you'd say, like, you might want to see something and say, oh, I would really like to have that. But it don't mean that much. That's what David was saying. But they was mighty men. Some of the people that was the men that he had, and it says in the 16th verse, and there were three mighty men that heard what he said. He longed for a drink. That's enough. It was a whim, but it don't matter that it's a whim. Their love and affections and desires towards their king was strong enough that when he said, I long, I'd like to have it, that's all you've got to say. This is a great challenge for Christians. Because David wasn't not anything. He was a king that made failures in his life. Yeah, he was successful in God at the end, but he was still a man. But we serve something so much greater. We serve God. We serve the one that died for us, that gave his life for us, that brought eternal salvation to us. To love him enough to say that all I have to do is have an inclination towards his desire. I've always been puzzled by people that want to live for the Lord less, and that has always puzzled me. It's always puzzled me that people want to just be flippant or indifferent about it, and it always puzzled me. Because all you have to do, all these mighty men needed was the slightest indication that he wanted a drink and they was willing to give their life for a drink for him. Jesus makes those insinuations in his word about what he wants, about what he desires, what it means for us to be in his favor for what he wanted. He talked about loving one another. That isn't indifferent and flippant. If that's what the Lord wants, then I'm going to pursue that with all my heart. See? David's mighty men heard David say, oh, I'd like to have a drink of that water down here. He did not command them. He simply longed. These three men, I don't know how they did it. Did they just look at one another and all three of them know what it means? Was there a leader in the bunch that got the other two and said, if he wants it, he'll get it. I don't know how it happened, but I know this. They went down and broke through. That indicates that there was resistance. Or else they would have just walked in. They broke through the garrison. They fought their way into that water. Probably fought their way out of there with the water. But they come back with the water and gave it to David. And I think the scripture goes on and says that none of the other mighty men ever attained to what these men did. And why? Not that they fought better. Not that they were better capable or more qualified. Because the Lord knows there's a lot of people more qualified than I am. More than you are. But these three, nobody ever attained to them because no one ever dared to have that kind of devotion towards their king to give their life for something frivolous. But they did. Nobody could attain to that. Nobody else, none of the rest of the mighty men attained to it. They attained to it because they had a desire to please David, their king.
Well, I want to read the rest of this. This is quite touching. Like I say, it's one of my favorite scriptures. And it says, the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out into the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. It is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Now, what David recognized right off was that he definitely wasn't worthy of that devotion. So he gave that devotion to the Lord, is why he didn't drink the water. He had longed for it, and endangered by his longing, endangered these men's lives. Well, you think of the responsibility that he had to felt for that. Just simply, they loved him enough just simply to say, with that kind of devotion, he should have walked on eggshell. He should have been very careful about what he said and done. But he made a comment, and these men went and got it at jeopardy of their life, went and got him water, and he recognizes that there's only one worthy of that devotion. God is worthy of that. Only God. Because God's the only one that can give men their salvation. God's the only one that can do anything really for a person. So he poured it out, didn't drink it, he poured it out on the ground to the Lord and gave this man's devotion to the one that belonged to it. But I have to think today that we have a direct access to that. Are you willing? Are you willing to find? Because I think that's what it is. I think lost within the busyness of our life many times is lost. Hidden in there is the will of God. Of what the Lord would have us to do within our lives, those little elements and those things in there are hidden. When I say hidden, I think you have to look for them to find them. I think that within there is a lot of places God wants something of our lives, wants us to do something for our life. The indications are in the Scriptures when He says things like, He said to the disciples, the fields are white and the laborers are few. We live in a world that is full of people running to and fro and here and there, and many dying without a Savior, without a hope. I can't help from thinking that there is a great opportunity for people. Well, we don't live all over the world, but we live in Green Bank. There's a great opportunity around our lives, in our families, in our places. We got to look for it. It's the will that causes us to look for it, to find the place. Hidden in there is all kind of things that God may want us to do. But when I've got the right not to. I've got the will not to. I don't have to accept any of that. I can go through the course of my day doing whatever I wanted to do. But do I really seek for God's will in it? Be challenged to start your next day with, Lord, here am I. Send me for this day. Is there a soul to contact? Is there somebody to touch? Is there something you want me to stop in the middle of my day? And be willing, just be willing, to take time for. I can run through it with my blinders on doing what I'm going to do and miss those opportunities. I've missed opportunities. I'm convinced of it. I remember one time Brother Tony and I went to pray for Sister Queen. Anybody remember Sister Queen? She lived in Parkersburg. Anyway, she was in the hospital. We went over there to pray for her. And we was praying for her, talked to her, and we had prayer for her, I think, when we got there, and then we had prayer for her when we left. And I noticed across from her room was another room, and I noticed this woman
walked up to the door and she looked in several times as we was in there praying and stuff. She looked in there and it was almost like she was wanting to say something or do something, and oh, how I just regretted. But as we walked out, Brother Tony was ahead of us, we had talked to Sister Queen by it, and we walked out, and I walked out. She came to the door almost like she was following us away. I never said a word. I never said anything. She never made no approaches. She never said anything. But as I walked out of there, the further I got, the more regret was on me that there was something happening there. The Lord had said, something's happening there. I didn't say, here, Lord, here am I. Send me. I should have been the one that went over and said, hello, how you doing? It probably would have been responded, not well. Could you offer prayer to? I wouldn't have doubted it a bit. There was something happening right there. And an opportunity. An opportunity goes by. I happen to see that. How many do I not? How many places? Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, I know. I know you care for souls. These mighty men would have cared. If David cared, they'd have went. They'd have fought for it to get it for David. Lord, I know that you have concern for the souls around me, around us. I know you do. Lord, help me to find it. We think, well, sure, I'll do it if it falls out of the sky, but that's not their heart. Their heart was, we're going to go get it for him. Maybe the Lord wants us to have a heart like that too. Not just here in 2013 saying, nobody wants to be saved. So I'm not responsible. I'll be responsible for the ones that come and says, Brother Marty, you pray for me? Okay, I'll pray for you. That doesn't seem to have the real what these men had. He said, I long for a drink. Then you'll have it if I have to die to get it. But I'm going to give all I can give for you to be able to do it. Here am I, Lord. Send me. There was another. Oh, let's see. Isaiah 1:19 says that the willing and the obedient shall eat the fat of the land. The willing. I think we sometimes say, oh, I'd sure like to see more of the Lord. I like to see the Lord working more in our lives, being encouraged and inspired by it. You know, it takes the willing to see it. It takes those that are willing to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I'll do it. Another scripture I was thinking about, you remember where Peter comes by, there was a man begging. Begging alms. I believe the man had never walked before. He was laid at the gate beautiful, called beautiful. He was begging alms. Peter comes along and he begs alms of him. Peter looks at him and says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Well, that starts off something. Peter had to have something. Peter did have something. He had his faith in God. He had a confidence in God. He believed the Lord could do something. Silver and gold can't fill your cup for you. We're limited by a lot of things. But such as I have. You know, that's one of our places. Such as I have. You have a kind word. You have a gentleness. You have a faith, a hope. Can you give it? Such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Well, man got up and walked. And he went shouting and leaping. It was better than filling his cup. The man could walk now. He had strength that he never had before. But such as I have, give I unto thee. I'm going to tell you, there was a willingness and a confidence that went along with those that was willing to go do it, a confidence that they had, a realization that I know in my heart without a doubt, that if these people, whoever these people are, if they get a hold of the Lord, it changed their life. The answer to the world's problems is not us getting smarter. It's not acts of Congress. It's not psychology. The answer to the world's problems is Jesus Christ. It's the answer to problems is salvation. That's the answer to the problems. The answer to the broken homes. Answers to the divorce rate. Answers to the abortion. Answers to all these things. Children in the plague. They're a heritage. The answer. Folks, we have the answer. Oh, I was taught from the time I was in the ministry. Any minister worth his salt points people to Christ. That's all he can do anyway. You know what? I'm not the answer. I know where the answer is. That's what I do. You point people to Jesus. There's the answer. But you know, there has to be a willingness. And the Lord will bless that willingness. I believe it's where... Oh, somebody made a comment recently here in service. Something about, are you better off than you was a few years ago? Something like that. Or will you be better off a few years from now? Grown more of the things of God? I think the steps to get there is the willingness to say, Lord, here am I. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me into your workforce. And again, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. It isn't everybody throwing down their tool and taking off. No, it's Lord, use me in my life. I'm willing, Lord, because the Lord don't send everybody to Africa. Everybody here is not missionaries. We have a congregation here that represents something here. Be willing. Be willing. And the Lord, I am convinced, the Lord will show you just exactly what is that. And the people are there all the time. Lord, help me that I'd be willing. You pray for me.